I want to say, to thank Jen as well, and thank all of my sisters and the few men who are here for this gathering. I found it incredibly important, the ways the new ideas and the thinking and so on for my own work. And also I feel that what I'm participating in and feeling, what I'm seeing happen, is something that I've really felt is in some ways the emergence or reflection of the potential that I really have felt there is in the gift paradigm, the theoretical understanding of giving as an alternative paradigm to exchange, not just a different type of behavior, a sort of a choice of what we do personally, but really as a distinct paradigm. The potential of that understanding to provide a context and a space and a frame for so many activists and feminists, perhaps in the first instance, to really find a perspective and a space to strategize together, to bring the activism and the knowledge, the understanding, and the commitments we have in many, many different areas with different kinds of foci, whether this be spirituality, political activism, environmentalism, feminism, indigenous struggles, and to see, to really know, and to see the absolute self-evident fact that all these are connected, that our world is a whole, that a holistic politics, a holistic vision, and a holistic practice is essential and is possible. And I think not only are we seeing the beginnings of some of that dialogue here, and that that development of all our thinkings in its diversity, but those of us who have been doing politics, longing for a space when the spiritual elements of that politics can really be articulated and developed, have come here, and will be more of us will be attracted in the future. And those of us whose practice has been largely spiritual, but who have felt it to be political, have longed for a space when the full political significance and contribution nature of that spirituality can really be manifest and can be lived, will have been attracted here and will be more and more attracted to a network and to the kind of strategizing. So that has been tremendous for me, to see that and really be confirmed in my sense of the potential of this understanding of a gift paradigm. And I also see really confirmed the fact that within that perspective or that broad understanding, which can be applied in many, many diverse ways and developed in many diverse ways, is really a home for the kinds of activism that we heard Carol talk about, that Margaret Randall was referring to, and the way of being that Marta talked about, which is we have to be peace, not just struggle for peace. That this is a place where those essential elements of how we move forward can really be honored and can find each other and can strengthen each other. And that is very exciting to me. I think when Linda and others talk about strengthening the feminist movement, we really are looking for connections, for networks, for strategizing that's political. We don't want just alliances. We don't just want connections. We don't just want to fall behind one issue at this time and the next issue and sort of support each other. But really, we need a political definition for our movement. And my sense is that this gift paradigm brings us that possibility, because it isn't a line, and it's not simply a set of, thank you, Anna. Is that, I've already used that up, or I've got that to go? Left, okay, thank you. Okay, that was my preferred response. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, that we need a political definition, but we don't need a political line. And this political definition is really deeply, deeply, deeply critical and visionary. So it's broad enough and it's deep enough to encompass us and to move us forward and work, I think, in every area. What I've sensed from people is that this brings something to an already ongoing work. It's not that anybody's going to drop what they're doing and move to doing the gift. It's that we're going to do what we've been doing in ways that understand its connections and the full potential somewhat more fully. And I feel partly a number of things that I'll just briefly list some of the things that I think are important about this. One is the way that it allows us to understand, I think, what a lot of us have really known, that change now has to be led by women. Yes. So you know it from practice, you know it from experience, you know it from looking around, but and we've had ways of articulating that and knowing that, but I think this deepens our understanding of why that is and how that is and how that might be possible. And of course, the kinds of and the important role and important resources in Indigenous communities and from Indigenous communities and struggles that are women friendly, that is consistent with traditions. The notion that many of us have been working on for like decades, that women's work must be respected and honored and valued, and so must nature, but it mustn't be commodified. And there's a problem, unless and until one can begin looking at a paradigm of giving and moving everything in that direction. Struggling, not trying to keep a few areas that aren't commodified, but absolutely getting rid of the notion of exchange and a world built on that. And I think another powerful or important connection for me, or deeper understanding for me, is the sense that I have known that we have to have feminisms that affirm women, but we have to resist gender as a structuring hierarchy. And I have spoken about that as a dialectical contradiction. It's a contradiction which we have to refuse and move forward and with as we create new possibilities for being, so that you affirm women to move beyond gender. And we do that all the time in this movement. But to the notion of masculation, the notion that actually women are and men, women are human. We have not been masculated. We haven't been gendered. Men have been gendered. So that when we're affirming, and of course more and more in our modernized, developed, industrialized society, we are being masculated as well. But we haven't been as masculated as men. That women have, for all sorts of reasons, got to have keep our feet in the human. The fact that means that when we struggle as women and we affirm women and we talk about the ways that this that our experience and values and responsibilities are formative in this struggle, we're talking about the human. And I don't have to talk about dialectical contradictions anymore. I can just see that that in affirming what has been the human that women have remained with, is the shape of our struggle. Another, I think, important and exciting thing for me is that we don't have to wonder how we're going to create socialist man. And I never was into creating socialist man. But what I mean is there's a long a long tradition of reflection and concern on the left and among radicals about how to get the kind of people that can live in a world that isn't about individualism, competition, profit. And I think really understanding giving as the core and essential human capacity relationship, and the one in which we all do feel most human, most vibrant, most alive. We feel best when we're giving and receiving in that human way. When we know that, we do just need to get a world where we're allowed to do that. And that is, I think, an important shift in, it is an important shift of understanding for me. Okay. And I think another important thing about a network, a politically defined network of feminists that is global, that has participation from women all around the world, and it has an understanding of a gift paradigm, is that this is particularly important, I think, for feminists working in developed countries, nations where the market is most developed, and we have been most colonized, I would say, as women, by liberal notions, by the idea that we're people, we're not women, where women have lost the knowledge of being women. That had to be taken away from us, because once you aren't so tightly contained, and once options open up for women, then you have to start forgetting about being women, because you mustn't then use them for women. But in the areas where women are most colonized and have lost most connections as women, and where those have to be created consciously and politically in social movement. And that's not everywhere in, say, in North America. It may not be so much in the rural areas, it may not be so much in poor communities, it may not be so much in immigrant and different communities. But by and large, in the urban educated contexts, and certainly in the educational arena where I find myself, we have lost the identity as women, and we've lost the power that comes with that. Now, the feminisms that are going to be able to be in this movement globally, I think, have to be grounded in that. And this paradigm, the notion of a gift paradigm, brings to us in these colonized kind of liberal urban contexts a frame which really helps us understand that the modern, developed, liberal, equal woman isn't so far advanced, is not necessarily the model for women of the future, is not doesn't give us a superior or more developed or more advanced way of being in this world, but really we need a different frame. We need to join a movement worldwide of women who are questioning everything, including and especially the models that are given to us as the most advanced. And we need that. We really need that in North America. And a lot of us have been trying to bring that and to have that and to work with that, but this is really, really an important support for that. And we have been criticizing economic growth. We've known it's a lie. We've known when you measure growth, you're measuring theft, really. You're measuring enclosure. You're measuring appropriation. We know that. But this helps us do that together internationally. In some of the discussions I've been in, women from parts of the world who've been criticizing economic growth, who've been criticizing models of development for a long time, and who have played major and important leadership roles in developing this critique of growth, have to be a bit suspicious of feminists who actually are arguing against growth for those countries who never had it and never had any benefits from it, and all of a sudden come to this light. Unless we are in a committed struggle to shift this thing and to really grow wealth in other ways. And that's an important thing to be able to do together in terms of understanding how we position ourselves across some of the traveling that Mechthild was talking about. Now, having said that, I think that a lot of questions come up for those, when we want to engage in these contexts, these kind of modern, time is up. She was giving me a few more minutes. For 1 minute, I'll just list the kinds of things. I'll tell you the last piece. When we're engaged in money, and when we're struggling as feminists in these contexts to get resources for women, and we're struggling in contexts where we want money and we need money, then we have to find ways to articulate these positions and these demands that incorporate or in some way reflect or draw on the strength of a gift paradigm. And there's three kinds of examples of ways I think that that's useful. And we see this. We need to understand about a gift paradigm as an alternative paradigm when we engage in these struggles. When we go for the support of social services as they're being undermined, we need to help those struggles move out of the charity notion or the notion of debt or your being, and to see the struggle to sustain the collective provision for our needs is a struggle and needs to be articulated and found a way to do it for giving. We in Canada, we recently had a very interesting meeting where feminists gathered to examine questions of all the ways that groups had been struggling against poverty and had been struggling for economic rights and labor rights. And we shared a lot of what we've been doing in our campaigns. And we reflected on the notion of a basic income and really felt that in this period, when the kinds of changes that have been happening that have been noted in a lot of papers here, when poverty, impoverishment, desperation, and destitution is being spread everywhere at a great rate, including in Canada, when women are being forced into prostitution, and the notion of legalizing prostitution is being used against women who are being told, well, why don't you just go on the street? What do you mean you don't have any money? We don't need any support for women because there's plenty of work. In this kind of context, our movement must, including and very centrally, take on board this fact of poverty. And the idea of an annual general income or a basic income seems an obvious demand, but it's not a feminist demand. It's a demand which in some ways leaves women's work invisible, the special extra work of women, and in some ways doesn't move forward the notion of a transforming society. So in our discussions, we came across, we developed a demand, if you want to say, or a statement, in which we said that the women's work and the gifts of nature have been creating most of the real wealth. And women work on the principle of everyone deserving to support. Everyone is given who needs. This is in the non-market realm. And we want to see those principles operating now in government and in business. So we make the basic income demand or the annual general income a demand to work by giving as women have worked for millennia and as we have survived. So we felt that was an interesting example of how we could use the gift paradigm in ways of engaging with money and market and struggles that we really felt we couldn't claim to have a women's movement if at this point we didn't make central the situation that the vast and increasing numbers of women are in. And that was a way we felt we could do it in terms of a gift paradigm. Thank you.